Chazor Zeich Nishos Bochi Cheskel Shagam Rav Yehudim Sechel Shabbos Daf Kuf Chof Aleph. The mission of a Goy comes to extinguish a fire in a Jew's house on Shabbos, you're not allowed to encourage him to do so, but you don't have to discourage him either. It's not our responsibility to prevent the Goy from doing Malach on Shabbos. If a Kotten comes to extinguish a fire, you're not allowed him to do so, because although he's not Mechuyev in Hilchos Shabbos, we are responsible to prevent him from doing Malach on Shabbos. Rami says if a Jew has a fire in his house on Shabbos, he's allowed to announce for Goyim to hear, whoever extinguishes this fire will not lose, meaning he'll get rewarded. Maybe our Mishnah could be a riot to this, because the Mishnah says you can't tell a Goy directly to extinguish a fire, but it's mashman, an indirect method, like Rami suggests. That would be allowed. However, the Mishnah could also be mashma the other way, because the Mishnah says he can't stop. We don't have to stop a guy from extinguishing a fire. This means to say that we can't encourage him even indirectly. Therefore, the Mishnah can't be used as a riot either way. He says there was a fire once in the chotzer of Yosef ben Simoy, who was an officer in the royal treasury. It happened on Shabbos, and people from the government came to extinguish a fire, but Yosef did not allow them to extinguish the fire. Nais came and it began to rain and it put out the fire. And after Shabbos, Yosef sent rewards to all the people who wanted to extinguish the fire for him. When the Chum heard the story, they said they had. That the Yosef had no reason to stop them since they came on their own. Mishnah said, "Al v'katan shibol l'chabes sein shemulev neshu sheshvi sasoi al aleihen." The Mishnah seems to be mashma that if a katan oichal nevelis, Bezdin would be mechuyev to tell him to stop. This is the point of a famous machlokes. The Mishnah seems to be starting on one side. Yechin answered that in the Mishnah you have to stop him because we're discussing a case where he's extinguishing the fire because he believes that's what his father wants him to do. But if he would be doing truly all on his own volition, we wouldn't have to stop him. In fact, the Gemara, if the case of the katan means that he has really in mind to do it for someone else's benefit, or someone else's sake, I would say that means the goy must be doing the same thing. He's extinguishing it for the sake of the yid. If so, how are we allowed to allow the goy to do it for the yid? The Gemara says a goy only acts on his own interest. He does it to get paid or otherwise benefit himself. Whereas a katan may taka do it for the pleasure of his father or whoever he's doing it for. Dr. Mishnah, you're allowed to take a bowl and put it over a candle so that the beams don't catch fire. You're allowed to put a bowl over the waist of a child or over a scorpion so that it doesn't sting. You just said it once happened that someone trapped a scorpion like this on Shabbos by putting a bowl over, inverting a bowl on top of it in front of Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai. And Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai said, I think this person may be chayav chatz for trapping since the scorpion wasn't tracing him, like Rashi explains. When Oven was explaining this Mishnah to his son, he said, the reason why you let it cover over the waist of a child is that so the children shouldn't touch it and get dirty. Rav Chanan disagreed. He said, that's wrong pshat because the waist of a child, first of all, it's not muksa because it's fit to be eaten by a dog and therefore it wouldn't be muksa. You can move it away by a dime. You wouldn't have to put a bowl over it. Therefore, the Mishnah should be taught as referring to the waste of chickens, not children. Since it's disgusting chicken waste, you should be able to remove it. Just like we find you're allowed to remove a keli full of waste because it's disgusting to be there on Shabbos. Mara says the Mishnah is talking about a chicken waste in a garbage heap. Since people don't hang out there and therefore they're not considered to be disgusted by it, it is muksa and therefore it can only be covered, it can't be moved. The Mishnah said, V'yal akrav shloi tishach. Shuba Levi said, anything that can kill is allowed to be killed on Shabbos. Yosef Esav Brisa says there are only five things that can be killed on Shabbos. The Egyptian fly, the Ninveh hornet, the Chadyav scorpion, the Israeli snake, and a wild dog from any location. This must follow Rav Shimon because Malach Hashem is Yitzchak Gufa, that's why he says he's Potter. But it's only these five things, maybe killed nothing else. Rabbi Yosef said the Brisa is talking about where the creatures are not chasing a person. Rabbi Shuma Levi is talking about where the creatures are chasing a person. Anything that's chasing a person and that thing that the chaser has the ability to kill, you're allowed to kill it on Shabbos. Isa was taught in front of Rabbi Arhuna that said that someone who kills, with regard to someone who kills a poisonous snake or scorpion on the Shabbos, ain ruach chassidim noicha himenu. Rabbi Arhuna said to the person taught in the Brisa, he says, those chassidim who are not happy that someone kills them on the Shabbos, the chassidim are not happy with those chassidim for saying that. For having said that, and not killing this predator, they're not happy with the chassidim who say something like that. Well, the Gemara says that we find that Rav Huna himself actually seemed to have disagreed with his son Rabbi Rav Huna because he seemed to be not happy when he saw someone kill a bee on Shabbos. Bryce said if someone happens to come upon a snake or a scorpion and he kills them, this means that they were sent in by Hashem, said he should do a good deed by killing them and not allowing it to harm other people. If he doesn't end up killing the snake or the scorpion, it means that Hashem sent him to kill him, the person himself, but he was saved through a nace. Ula says this last statement is only true if the snakes were hissing at him, ready to attack. Rabbi Akana says one time a snake fell into the Beis Medrash on Shabbos and a Nevosi Yid killed it. The Rebbe said it was killed by someone like it. What does that mean? It was a good thing they killed someone like it. Was that a praise or was that said in a derogatory way? Where it says we find that Rabbi Yana killed wasps on Shabbos, so he definitely would allow killing a snake. Based on this, it must be that Rebbe thought that the person had done a good thing and meant it in a good way. Where it says, no, right, it could be Rabbi Yana only allowed the killing of these things when they can work out that it's under your foot and you're normal walking, you kill it, you squash it. But not to go ahead out of your way and kill it could be that Rabbi Yana wouldn't let. So maybe no raya. Abba Marisa owed money to the members of the Reish Galusa. They brought him to the house of the Reish Galusa to pressure him to pay. It was Shabbos and there was some saliva on the ground. The Reish Galusa said, bring a keli and cover all the saliva. It's not nice to have like that. Abba Marisa said, there's no need to do that because Rabbi Yehuda said that you can just step on the saliva of the again. If it's in your normal walking pattern, you can go ahead and step on it. It's not a problem. After hearing this, Reish Galusa said, oh, this person, Abba Marisa, obviously is a Talmud Chacham, so therefore don't pressure him for the payment. Rabbi Bar Kahana, name Rabbi Hanina, said that the candelabra of Rebbe's house may be moved on Shabbos. Rabbi Zera asked, is this because it was small, was able to be carried with one hand, or a large one needs to be carried with two hands? What was the case? He said, it was talking about it was a small one. Rabbi Bar Kahana, name Rabbi Hanina, said the wagons of Rebbe may be moved on Shabbos. Rabbi Zera asked, is this referred to large wagons that need two people to be moved, or small ones that can be moved by one person? He said, again, it refers to small ones. Rabbi Bar Kahana said, Rabbi Hanina allowed the people of Rebbe's house to drink wine that were transported by Goyim based on the fact that the wine had one seal over it. However, he didn't know if Rabbi Hanina allowed it because he holds like Rabbi Eliezer that one seal is always enough for wine with regard to Yayin Stam or Yayin Akum. Or is it because he held that it's enough only in this case because the Goyim were afraid of the Nasi and therefore they would never touch the wine? He said, outside he's not sure, but he did allow them to drink the wine with based on the fact that it had even only one seal.